Pray with me, please. Dear good and gracious God, I pray that some word of mine will be some word of yours for someone of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Chris and I went to my hometown, which is in Jamestown, Tennessee. Anybody ever been there before? Nobody? Nobody. Well, okay. Well, we went there last weekend. We went to play at a church for the revival our band did. You know, the mention of the Sabbath reminded me while I was there that on Sunday, almost everything there is closed. My dad used to say that on Sunday in Jamestown, they closed everything up and even rolled up the sidewalks. A few of you probably have heard that before, too. Until they got a McDonald's and a Walmart, you just about couldn't buy anything, including food there. This stemmed from the Blue Laws. How many of you remember the Blue Laws, okay? Also known as Sunday Laws, which banned or restricted Sunday sales, especially of alcohol. This was done primarily for religious reasons and for a day of rest. It's still that way in many parts of the country. I don't know about you, but I don't know what babies did for formula or what when people got sick, what they did on Sunday back in those days, but I guess they may do. The gospel lesson today reminded me of an episode of the Andy Griffith Show titled The Sermon for Today. Any of you remember that episode? Okay, a few nods. It is about a traveling preacher by the name of Dr. Breen who delivers a sermon called Watch Your Hurry. The main premise is that people need to slow down, enjoy life, not be in a hurry, relax, okay? But if you've ever watched a single episode of the Andy Griffith Show, you know that it couldn't get much slower than it was at Mayberry. If it got any slower, my dad used to say this, he'd say if it got any slower, the cobwebs would have caught up to him, okay? That's how slow it was. Well, when Andy and Barney and Aunt Bee and Opie all get to the All Souls Church, remember it was called All Souls Church, in a couple episodes it's called All Saints Church, they find the sermon just so relaxing. In fact, they found it so relaxing that Barney and Andy had a hard time staying awake. And after the service, Barney thanked Dr. Breen for his wonderful sermon, even though that it was clear that he wasn't paying any attention at all during the sermon. He then makes a bit of a fool of himself when on the way out he was shaking the pastor's hand and he says, Pastor, that's one subject that you just can't talk enough about, sin. Well, obviously he hadn't talked about sin. And so Andy quietly tells Barney, that wasn't what the message was about. When they all return to Andy's home, everyone sits down like a lot of people do for a big Sunday dinner. And they got so full, you know, you could almost see them out there on the front porch with their toothpicks in their mouth just sitting there relaxing. And then the subject of Dr. Breen's sermon comes up. And they recalled how he mentioned during a sermon just how relaxing it was to go listen in the park to the bands that would play their music and they would sit in the shade and drink lemonade. So within minutes, they all decide that it's just a great idea. Why don't they have a band concert and why don't they have it tonight? Well, they immediately swung into action, and Aunt Bee and Clara decided to sew up the old band uniforms and get them in shape, and Andy gets the members of the town all together, and they decide to practice at the jail, and Barney and Gomer set out to fix and repair the old bandstand and get it ready. But suddenly, what had been a peaceful Sunday after church relaxing on the front porch turned into all kinds of chaos. Barney was yelling at Gomer about crawling under the bandstand to fix it, even though Gomer was afraid of spiders. You remember what he said? Get underneath there with them spiders. So he wanted to fix some boards underneath there. And Aunt Bee and Claire were arguing over whether or not the band uniforms were going to be repairable and were they going to be repairable on time. The moths had eaten at them. And Andy even gets frustrated. Good old Andy gets frustrated with the members of the band who were more than just a little bit rusty. You remember that? They just couldn't play. In fact, one of the guys, he was almost deaf. He just couldn't hardly keep up with them at all. But exhausted and frustrated, they all come together and they decide it's just useless. It's just not going to happen. And they return to Andy's house and they sit down on the front porch. And when all the people, who of all people should arrive, was Dr. Breen pulls up. And he sees them all resting on the front porch completely unaware of all the chaos that he had caused, okay? He then praises them for taking his sermon to heart, and after being invited to stay, now they invited him to stay and have a cup of coffee, he apologized to him and said, No, I must rush off. I've got other engagements. I've got other things to do. I'm a busy man, you know. Maybe it's because he is tired from all the running around, but Andy gets kind of in a dig with the minister, and he says, "What's your hurry?" Okay? The preacher, you see, in the story basically was saying that the Sabbath should be a day of relaxing, yet he didn't even understand or practice what he was preaching, being a bit of a hypocrite, wasn't he? This is very much what is going on in the gospel lesson today. The Pharisees, you see, they talked a good game, but they didn't even understand what the most important aspect of the Sabbath was. You see, Jesus, in the story, tells about he and his disciples were walking through a field of ripe grain, and as they walked along, they just pulled off some of the heads of the grain, and they ate them. And the Pharisees then said to Jesus, kind of tattling on him, you know, he says, "Look, your disciples are breaking the Sabbath laws." It's interesting to note, I did some research on this, though, that, and Dick, you may know this, but ripe grain, I guess, can be eaten whole and is both tasty and nutritious. Plucking bits of grain from another person's field for food was permitted in those days under Mosaic law. Deuteronomy 23:25 says, "If you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to them, to any of the standing grain." I think basically what it's saying is, if you're hungry and you're going by, you can eat a little bit, but you can't put baskets of it on and take it home with you and sell it. You know, that would be stealing. Jesus then reminded them that David, when he and those with him were hungry, they entered the sanctuary and ate fresh bread off the altar with the chief priest right there watching them. This holy bread was intended only for the priests, and only priests were allowed to eat it. Now, Jesus did not say that David or his men were innocent, but he was letting them know that the Sabbath was made for man and not the other way around. Furthermore, Jesus was letting them know that he is Lord of the Sabbath. Then Jesus later goes back to the meeting place, and he comes across a man with a crippled hand. And the Pharisees were watching Jesus closely to see if they would catch him healing this man on the Sabbath, which would have been breaking law, because he had been working on the Sabbath. Jesus did not disappoint them, however. He did just that. He asked the man to stand up right where everybody could see him. And Jesus asked this question to all of them. He said, "Which is it better to do on the Sabbath? Is it better to do good, or is it better to do evil? Is it better to help people, or leaving them helpless?" And everybody was silent. You know, I kind of envisioned, Jesus was angry. I kind of envisioned that he looked at each one of the Pharisees in the eyes, and he let them know that he was in charge of the Sabbath, and that he said to them, and then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." He held it out, and when he opened his hand, he was healed. And then I kind of envisioned that the Pharisees ran out with their tails kind of tucked between their legs. I like what Jesus told them in Matthew 12:7, verses 7-8. It says, "If you had known what these words mean," and the words are, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." In Luke 13:15-17, Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath, and the synagogue ruler said that the people should come and be healed not on the Sabbath, but on one of the other 6 days. Dr. Berner, how would that work? Somebody's really, really sick. There's got to be hospitals open, doesn't there, Dr. Berner? Yeah. And so if somebody's sick, there's got to be a hospital there for people to go to. In Luke 13:15-17, I repeat, he said, Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath, and the synagogue ruler said that the people should come to be healed on one of the other 6 days, and not the Sabbath. And Jesus said to him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman be healed on the Sabbath?" The Pharisees just never seemed to get it, however, did they? They followed laws without understanding what was most important. And Jesus told them what was most important in Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. He says, "One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' And Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The idea that the Sabbath should be a day of worship and rest for people is very clear. But Jesus also wants us to do good as well. You know, the New Testament has almost 50 references to events that actually occurred on the Sabbath. These are in the Gospels. And then the book of Acts has approximately 10 references. The idea that the Sabbath is set apart for religious activity rather than daily work is basically assumed in all of these references. Yet the legalistic idea of not allowing work is softened by Jesus. He leaves us with the knowledge that it is a day of doing good as well as a day of worship and a break from ordinary work. In practical terms, it means this. If a person needs to plow their field on Sunday to raise a crop to feed their family, the good Lord understands. And if a doctor has to deliver a baby on a Sunday, that is more important than being in church. This is definitely loving your neighbor as yourself. God understands that keeping the Sabbath is not just about sitting in a church. A person once told me that sitting in a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in your garage makes you a car. You know, God knows what is on your heart, doesn't he? He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, he says, but to save the world through him. In conclusion, you know, God modeled the Sabbath for us in Genesis 2. After God completed the heavens and the earth, the Bible says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And then later in Exodus 20, God gave to Moses and to all the people the Ten Commandments. And remember this one? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Well, if we stop there, the Pharisees might have kind of been right. But in today's gospel lesson, Jesus is letting the Pharisees know that they have taken the commandment too far. They just created too many laws. The Sabbath is not more important than helping someone who is in need of help. Let me repeat that. The Sabbath is not more important than helping someone that's in need of help. Let us remember that the most important commandment is loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen.